Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. We're glad for the visitors we have here tonight. Thank you each for coming. May God bless you for your interest in the work tonight. I am aware tonight that there's many young people here. You count tonight, there's more young people here than there is older folks, and God bless you for being here. And I do plan to preach a sermon tonight. There's a special focus on young people. I was thinking about what an asset young people can be to the kingdom of God. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I thought about the character of Samuel when I was thinking about young people. I plan to spend a little bit of time with his story tonight and try to pull out some thoughts that God would have us to learn from his life. My text tonight is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And my title tonight is taken directly from that verse, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. To get the setting of the story, it's familiar, and yet sometimes we miss details. Go back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1, Now there was a certain man of Ramoth-im-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, or a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard, therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. And the Lord God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." And Elkanah her husband said unto her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my lord, as thy soul liveth, my lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, also, I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there." Chapter 2, verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli. Verse 17. Verse 18, rather. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, "Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people." Verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, that would have been early in the morning, just before daybreak, because the lamps were there to burn all night, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou hast called me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. We have Eli coming to Samuel. And then we have verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 10, if you look at those two verses, you notice that the Israelites are at war. Samuel is a man. He's the judge of the land. And there are 35,000 soldiers slain in battle. And in verse 11, it tells you that the ark of God was taken. In verse 18, we have the death of Eli. Then we have the story of the Philistines with the ark. In chapters 5 through chapter 6, verse 16. Interesting story, but I will not read that tonight. Samuel is not found in that story. Chapter 7, verse 2, and it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. So what happened? We don't have much about Samuel in these 20 years, but 20 years elapsed here. What was Samuel doing in those 20 years? Chapter 7 and verse 3, and Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. He encourages the children of Israel to a revival, and they responded well, as you read down over that. Verse 10, you see that Samuel was offering up a sacrifice and crying out to the God of heaven to deliver them, and the Lord did. He thundered with a great thunder on that day onto the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Ebenezer means stone of help. It appears that Samuel set that up for a monument. A great revival in Israel, chapter verse 12, says that the Philistines were subdued. All the cities were restored. There was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And then we have verse 15 to 17, Samuel taking his yearly circuit to worship at Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah. He was the judge of the land, and he returned unto Ramah, where was his house. and he built an altar unto the Lord. We see that numerous times in Samuel's life. What can we learn from this story of Samuel, this life of Samuel, that can inspire us? And while this sermon is for young people, it certainly is for the rest of us as well. But there is the most potential in young people's lives who begin the way Samuel did and walked in the ways of God and did not waste his time in sinful habits. We don't have record of Samuel doing that. And I think there was great potential in Samuel's life because of his early upbringing, because of his mother's influence, because of his mother's vow. Tonight we have before us 14 souls desiring church membership, and we're blessed by that. That's a great blessing. 10 of these 14 are underneath the age of 20, so they are all young people, we say. Then we have 4 adults. We have 6 young folks who have never been baptized before that are looking forward to baptism tonight. They're looking forward to that desire of the seal of God upon their lives. And I would like to endeavor to apply some principles from the life of Samuel to your lives. We read in the beginning of Samuel's life, while he was a child, that Samuel ministered before the Lord. That word ministered means he served. He acted as a servant, as a child in the ministry in the temple. With Eli being an aged man, it's easy for us to understand that there were tasks that a young lad could do that an old man couldn't. And they were probably mundane tasks, tasks that he did every day. And sometimes as young people and sometimes as adults, at least depending on your character and your nature, we hate the things that we have to do every day. You think Samuel ever hated his job? Day in and day out, year in and year out, doing the deeds of the temple, the dirty work of the temple, so to speak. But that's point number one. Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, and he continued to do that through his youth. He ministered before the Lord. He was willing to be God's servant. Point number two, Samuel was in favor. We read that verse as well, how that he was in favor with God and he was in favor with the men of Israel. In favor. How can you as young people be in favor with the Lord tonight? How can you be in favor with the Lord? How was Samuel in favor? What did that mean? I believe as a child and as a young person, it meant to Samuel, for him to be in favor with Eli, he had to be willing to do what Eli asked him to do. You see a very close relationship when you read this story between the man Eli and Samuel, even though they were not father and son. You see a close relationship, and that would not have been built without Samuel endeavoring to favor this old man. How can you and I favor, be found in favor with the Lord and with his people? We're found in favor with the Lord by obedience to his commands. We're found in favor with the Lord by daily communication with the one who we know created us, our Creator. We'll be found in favor with him if we communicate with him and if we listen when he speaks to us. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We can be found in favor with the Lord by worshiping him. and living lives of adoration that are not afraid to recognize the beauties of creation around us and attribute them to God can be found in favor with the Lord. We can be found in favor with men. How can we do that? How can we be in favor with men today? You as young people here in the front bench tonight are going to join the Ridgeview Mennonite Church and make vows that are related to that. And you're going to join officially the Church of Jesus Christ. And you're going to make vows to the God of heaven. How can we be in favor with man when we are members of a physical body, a physical church? How can we be in favor of men? By truly loving our brothers and sisters. When you are brought into the church, you are going to have new sisters and new brothers. And you are going to be new brothers and new sisters. And by truly loving them, we can be found in favor with them. By doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. You've been taught that as a child in your home. If you live with other siblings, and you know that sometimes it takes hard work to be as loving with our siblings as we should be, to do unto them as we should do. But in church life, if we want to be found in favor with our brothers and sisters, we must do that. I believe we'll also be found in favor with men when we are pointing struggling people to Jesus. That's what this old dying world wants. They don't all know that, but they want a relationship with their Creator. And so they will love people who tell them about their Creator and point them to the God above. You can be in favor with man by pointing the struggling souls to Jesus. Point number three, simply the title, Speak, Lord, for Thy Servant Heareth. Eli was the one who identified what Samuel should say. It was a very peculiar incident. They were in the temple together and they slept very close by the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know how close, but not far away. And you remember that the high priest could not even go into the holiest of holies without a lot of special preparation. And so it was a room in the temple that was corded off. And inside there was the Ark of God with the mercy seat. Can you imagine what it would be like to sleep right outside that curtain or that partition between you and there in the dark hours of the morning? And you know that the Ark is there, and you know the presence of God is there, and this voice calls. And we read this story. You know how young Samuel was sure it was Eli. And it shows his dedication to Eli. In the wee hours of the morning, he arises and goes to see if he can help the old man. He's used to that. But Eli finally said, Samuel, if he calls again, say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I believe that young people tonight who are serving Jesus and endeavoring to be members of his church here below, I believe they must be able to identify the call of God. And I believe you young folks that are ready for baptism and membership tonight know what it's like to hear the call of God on your life. And you have responded, you're here tonight because you heard the call of God. And you answered it. But as you walk your Christian life, you have to keep on hearing what he has to say. And you have to keep on saying just what Eli told Samuel to say. Speak. I want to hear what you have to say. I realize it's different. We're not in an Old Testament time. Samuel didn't have a lot that you have tonight. He had very little of this book, if any, to read. He didn't have the story of young Samuel to read tonight. He didn't have a lot of the other stories that you have in this book. But he was directed by Eli that perhaps the voice was God speaking to him. And he was finally able to identify the call of God. And we see that in the verses that we read after that. This wasn't the only time Samuel heard the call of God. He kept on hearing. He kept on hearing. We must do that. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. If we're going to be able to say that and really mean it, then we have to want God to speak to me. God doesn't speak to people who don't want spoken to. We have to want it. And we have to be like young Samuel. We have to be willing to be his servant. Even if it demands hard things. I do not understand why Samuel was given this loaded message as a young man. The first time that God spoke to him, it was a prophecy, a terrible prophecy about what was going to happen to Eli's family. I don't understand that. But God understood and God gave him that prophecy. It was not really a new prophecy to Eli. You can back up in the passage, and there was a man of God who came to Eli that told him a lot of the same things as what he told young Samuel. We have to be willing to be his servant, even if he demands hard things. Samuel feared to tell Eli. It was a terrible judgment story. That brings us to point number 4. Samuel told him every whit. That simply means in our English language today, Samuel told him everything that God told him. Even though it was a fearful judgment, he told him everything. He hid nothing. He was openly honest. Even though he was afraid to speak it. Young people in life, you will face difficult situations. And sometimes you're not quite sure what to say. Sometimes you might be questioned by someone. But will you follow in the steps of young Samuel and tell every whit? Will you? That's a challenge for all of us. Will I tell the truth? And all of it? Or will I hide some things? Does it seem easier to hide some things? Open and honest before God and before the church and before his people, regardless of circumstances, you can never go wrong to be open and honest and tell the whole story just how it was. Samuel told him every whit, well, you and I. Point number 5 is found in verse 21. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel. You'll see that again and again in Samuel's life. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel. And again, we live in New Testament times. We don't live in the time of Samuel. You may not be able to claim the visions that Samuel had when God revealed himself. But point number 5 is the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. And I believe that if you follow the steps that young Samuel followed, You're willing to minister before the Lord. You're willing to be his servant. You find yourself in favor with the people of God and in favor with God himself. You're ready to say again and again, "Speak, God, I want to know what you have to say. I'll do what you say." And you're willing to tell everything, even when it's hard. Then I believe the Lord will reveal himself to you tonight. And you can have the blessing of God's guidance in your life, his revealing about your life. As young people, we look at the future and we sometimes wonder about it. We have questions about it. But if you're doing as young Samuel, then God will reveal himself to you. It's 2025. We're not in the days of Samuel and Eli, but much is the same. Did you notice, as we read Samuel and Eli's story, the wickedness that abounded all around Samuel? The temple really wasn't a safe place for him to be as a young man. The wickedness abounded. And wickedness abounds today in you young people's lives. It's around you. It's here. It's there. The wickedness abounded, but Samuel turned a deaf ear to the wickedness. Godliness is not always easy to decipher in our day, even as it was in Samuel's day. Not always easy to decipher. The priest's sons, acting as priests, were vile men. How does a young person put that together? When the leaders of the church are vile men, but that's what Samuel grew up with. To all of you who are anticipating membership tonight, the church here at Ridgeview, the Pilgrim Conference that we were a part of in 2025 is in need of you. The church always has needs, down through the centuries, down through times. The church always has needs. The church always has needy people. And so it always has needs. We as a church need men and women of kindness. I know you've been taught that since you're a little tot, but it's still true. Our world today needs men and women of kindness. Will you be that? Our world and our church today needs men and women of humility. Those who are ready to esteem others better than themselves. And that's hard. That's a lifetime of work. To esteem other people better than myself in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need men and women of patience. Men and women of patience. The Bible has a lot to say about patience, and we need that. That's something you can practice in your life. That's something you can contribute to the Ridgeview Mennonite Church. Young people with patience. We need people of conviction. We need young men and young ladies and older ones alike who will say, "I won't do it because God would not be pleased." And you're not afraid to say that. "I won't do it because God will not be pleased." We need young men and women and older ones alike who won't dress a certain way because the church has given direction to that. And so I have a conviction in my heart that I chose to be a part of this church, and I will follow the church's guidelines. people of conviction. We need young men and young women who won't use some words that are used in our culture because they know God wouldn't approve. We need young men and young women who will not laugh at dirty stories, but will turn and walk away. Men and women of conviction. The Church of Jesus Christ, the church at Ridgeview tonight, needs members who are serious-minded. Men and women who think through issues before speaking about them. Men and women who care about the salvation of souls. Care enough about it that they will live a life of example. The church tonight needs men and women who lead by following. Did you know that you could lead by following? I fear today that our society and even our church society is not seeing that issue correctly. You know, I get many, many invitations for seminars, for pastors. And the titles on them are telling you, you can come and you can learn how to be a leader. I'm going to propose tonight in 2025 that we need instead, if we need seminars, I'm not saying those are all wrong, but I'm saying we need seminars that teach about how to follow. What the Church of Jesus Christ tonight needs more than anything else in 2025, I believe, is men and women who want to follow. There was a testimony given at a funeral here not so long ago. I read about it. And the man giving the testimony said that the man who had died had done that for him. He was not a pastor. He was not a leader in the church. But he said, that man led me by following. You can lead people by following. May God bless each of you as young people, Pat and Kelly and your family. It's a pleasure tonight to be at this junction of the road and to be ready to accept you all as members. God bless you. In closing, I'm going to read Samuel's mother's prayer found in 1 Samuel 2. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty man are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low, he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep thy feet of his saint. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, out of heaven shall he thunder upon them, and the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. May God bless the remainder of the service.